Around this time of year, way back in 2020, my wife's 4-year-old nephew was at home with his grandma, watching the news. I know this was 4 years ago, right? But do the math. 2020, you remember, right? The news was just COVID this and COVID that. So all of a sudden, this little guy gets up off the couch, runs to the front door, and slams it shut, throwing the deadbolt. "What are you doing?" said his grandma. "Your dad's going to be home any minute." And the little 4-year-old said, "I'm keeping us safe from the virus." Now, this guy, who's now 8, has always been kind of an anxious, rule-following kid. He's the only one of his cousins that I will let my sons be alone with. But this story comes to mind when I think about the situation we find the disciples in today's the gospel reading. In other eras, I, and maybe you, would have kind of huffed at the idea of them being locked inside. The text says, "for fear of the Jews," which makes their feel almost comical, right? Because the disciples themselves are also Jews. In the Gospel of John, the Jews really refers to a very specific section of the religious leadership, but I'm just saying, it sounds a little funny. And yet, even 4 years later, I can remember what it felt like to be locked in my own house for fear of other people, other citizens of the same country, people who live in the same town as me, even people that I usually would have worshipped with. I know today, as we sit here, most of us with no masks, it feels a long way away, but you remember that fear and that agony. Into this world of pain and hurt, the world of the first century and the world of the 21st century, Jesus comes again and again. First to the disciples minus Thomas, when he breathes on them to give them the Holy Spirit, the same breath that God breathed into Adam and Eve in the garden in creation, the breath of life. And then he comes again when Thomas is there to see him. And to Thomas, Jesus offers his whole entire self, even the wounds in his side, so that Thomas can touch them. Thomas sees this visible evidence of Jesus' crucifixion, proof that Jesus has been with the disciples and with all of us in the darkest and most painful passages of our history. I wonder if Jesus is trying, ever so gently, to show the disciples that their approach to safety is ultimately misguided. Perhaps, yes, even a little bit silly in the grand scheme of things. Just like that 4-year-old locking the door against an airborne virus. See, the disciples are rightfully afraid in some ways, rightfully afraid of the violence of their fellow humans. And the thing is that they don't know how the story ends, right? They don't have our privilege of 2,000 years later looking back. So imagine that fear and that confusion. It's into that fear that Jesus comes to inoculate them against the virus of despair, that temptation to disengage, to stay locked away. Jesus meets the disciples where they are, but he doesn't want to leave them there. He tells the disciples not to stay locked in their room, but to go out, to continue his work. He says, "I send you out as I was sent out." Jesus cannot be held back from his mission by any lock or any door. And indeed, the wounds of Jesus' crucified and resurrected body are themselves a door, a passage that opens up to a whole new world of possibility. What does Jesus' resurrection make possible? Well, again, from the privilege of several millennia later, we know the story, right? We know that it makes the church possible, that these scared and grieving disciples will go on to found a global movement of reconciliation. And we know that Thomas, even Thomas, who gets the unfortunate moniker of Doubting Thomas in some traditions, even Thomas will answer the call of God's mission. He goes on to travel as far as India, which for people in that day and age, right, is basically like to the moon and back. Right? No one was going to India and coming back. There were no planes. This was an incredible journey. Thomas went there and founded a church that still bears his name to this day, the Mar Thoma Church. It's one of our full communion partners. And none of that would have been possible, none of it, without Thomas giving up his fear and coming out from behind that locked door. Make no mistake, right? I know as well as you that the world is still a confusing and often terrifying place. And in our day and age, there is much cause for grief. I will never advocate for you to pretend that that is not true. But my point is that we cannot give in to the fear which tempts us to stay behind our locked doors, to separate ourselves from others, and ultimately from God. And we don't know, right, at this point, how our stories end either. But I hope that 2,000 years from now, right, and generations to come, the disciples who come after us will look back and be amazed at what the resurrection of Jesus made possible in our lives, in our age. How even in a world of fear and confusion, we moved from, however understandably, being afraid of each other and of the world, we moved on from that because we heard the call of Jesus and we listened when he said he is sending us out. I hope those future disciples will be amazed at how we found new ways to connect with God and with one another, how we made new ways to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers, how we moved towards becoming the agents of God's work of reconciliation in our church, in our neighborhoods, and in the world. And perhaps none of us will go as far as the moon and back or to India and back to spread this message of hope. But listen, maybe some of us will, or our kids will, or our children's children will. Because in the resurrection of Christ on Easter's morning, a whole new world becomes possible, a whole new universe, really. And the Spirit that brooded over creation at the beginning is still breathing new life into this old world. So I asked you last week, and I asked you again, what has God made possible in your life? What difference has the resurrection made for you? If it has made a difference, and if you have seen and felt and known that difference, it is time to get out and share that message, to preach the gospel at all times, using words if necessary, to paraphrase St. Francis, but to get out there and spread that message so that the whole world, and even beyond the world, may know the fellowship, the love of God, and all may not doubt, but believe. Amen.